I need to know, how many of you already know who's in the Justice League? Who's in the Justice League? Shout out who's in the Justice League. Superman, the Man of Steel, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Hey. Who else? Batman, the billionaire who as a child saw his parents be murdered and vowed to fight the shadowy underworld. He didn't actually have superpowers, but he had super gadgets because he was super rich. I myself had a tender place for Aquaman. Y'all know Aquaman? The man from Atlantis who could breathe underwater and communicate telepathically with all sea creatures, especially dolphins. And he was blonde. But my favorite, of course, had to be Wonder Woman. I was a little girl when the TV show was on, and I thought Linda Carter, who the actress who played Wonder Woman, I thought she was the most beautiful and smart woman ever. She played Diana Prince, who was a career woman who could twirl around, and bam! She was super strong, super fast, and she had a lasso that could squeeze the truth out of anybody. And she had bullets. She had magic bracelets that could deflect bullets. Doom, doom, doom. Yeah, I want to be in that Justice League. I want to fight the bad guys. You can tell they're bad because they're big and chunky and usually dark-featured, snarling and surly. They spend all their time plotting and scheming to take over the world, beating up people, preying on the weak, robbing little old ladies of their money. Easy to see, easy to fight, easy to beat when you have superpowers. Awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome. It's fun to think about, right? That's why we all go to those movies, I go to those movies. And when I was growing up, the bad guys were usually Nazis or Russians or wearing black, because I grew up with Indiana Jones, James Bond, and Star Wars. It was so easy to tell who the bad guys were, and it was clear who the good guys were. And even though the good guys tried not to shoot the bad guys, sometimes they were so bad they just had to. But that was okay because they were good. They were for truth, justice, and the American way. So, what is that again? What's the American way? Thank you. We like to think that there is one truth, that justice shines as a pure light, and that we all know what those American ideals look like for everybody. So then we easily know who the bad guys are and what to do. I'm starting to think that's not the case. Now, I'm not always sure what to do about that. My father, who's now sitting in the front row, is a Methodist minister. When we were 8, we moved to a new church. And when I went into his office, there was something sitting on the middle of his desk. It was a little glass bottle with a little red rubber ball glued to the top of it. And it had a label on it. It said, "The Fireball." "What the heck is that about?" I asked him. Turns out my dad had a reputation for speaking out pretty loudly. And this apparently got him in trouble sometimes. See, we lived in the Miami area in the 70s when Anita Bryant was spewing her hateful anti-gay rhetoric. In case you don't know her story, Anita Bryant was a beautiful woman, a beauty pageant winner, a singer. And in those days, she was the ambassador for the Citrus Commission, and there were lots of commercials with her selling wholesome orange juice. Bryant was voted the most admired woman in America 3 years in a row by Good Housekeeping magazine. She was wonderful, and she didn't like gay people. She led a coalition called Save Our Children and said, and I quote, What these people really want, hidden behind obscure legal phrases, is the right to propose to our children that theirs is an acceptable alternate way of life. I will lead such a crusade to stop it as this country has not seen before. End quote. So I'm pretty sure she was evil. But she toured with the USO. She did good things. And then she did that. And in my mind, that kind of rhetoric is ignorant and uninformed at best, and vitriolic hatred at worst. And spreading vitriolic hatred is 1,000 times worse than just having hate. Anyway, when all that was going on, my dad spoke up publicly and said, no. He said she didn't represent all of Christianity, and that people of faith should understand that God loves everybody, regardless of gender, race, or sexual orientation. Shocking words and views, apparently, because speaking out in that way led to his removal from his current church, where he was happy and where they were happy with him, and he was assigned to another church, a troubled church, and what I eventually called the punishment church. Because he was a fireball. He kept that little decoration, and he might still have it, I don't know. Oh, he says no. But every time, and I remembered that story every time I looked at it, and I was always proud. So, maybe the bad guys aren't always dark and ugly. They aren't even always guys. And maybe heroes don't always have capes. Yeah. So, the world is really confusing. People can be complicated. Right here in this building, in this pulpit, there have been a lot of talk about our country and politics lately, about truth and justice. Just a couple weeks ago, Mark Mullinax was here. Everybody here when he spoke? He was talking about our current administration, and he said, quote, "We have met the enemy, and they continue to be us." You see, number 45 is as American as apple pie. He comes out of America. He is us. We produced and then promoted him. Wall Street, Main Street, White Avenue, Mail Circle, and Perpetual War Boulevard all helped. He is our own. He is us. And if we want to be righteously indignant about number 45, let us start with ourselves, our commitments, our moral failures. And then he said, "So here is my guilty secret. I rejoice in this president. Why? Only because he helps us get back in touch with what a life of integrity and bravery and love really looks like. It is for such a life we are all made, and I give thanks for anyone who helps bring this home." Now, and that was in quote. And that's the challenge. How do we get back in touch with that life? And the truth is, I don't have a perfect answer. I have no lasso of truth. I'm not a Jedi mind reader. I don't even meditate regularly. But I can look for historical examples, such as Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, Gandhi, or religious teachings. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's pretty general, so I tend to like the Beatitudes more. They are both more specific and more challenging. And they say things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, and the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers," and so on. In the UU tradition, we have our 7 principles. And I have really come to love these 7 principles. The first principle is, yes, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I put you on the spot. I'm sorry. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. Every person. regardless, like my dad said, regardless of gender, race, sexual orientation, whether they are American, Mexican, or Syrian, regardless of religion, whether they are UU, Baptist, or Muslim, and regardless of who they voted for in the last election. The second principle is justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Oh boy, that one's a hard one. We take that first idea of every single person has worth, and then we say we should all be equal, that we should be just and compassionate. Just think for a minute of the huge implications of that. If we believe that, there's no such thing as America first. If we believe that, we have to consider those among us who struggle the most. What about the young who are struggling to acquire an education and jobs? What about the ill who are unable to work? What about the frail elderly who find challenges in day-to-day living? What about people who are living in our communities as undocumented citizens who are here illegally? What about communities that have polluted waters coming out of their taps? What about people who live in the path of increasingly strong storms and can't afford to get out of the way? What about people who work in sweatshops to supply us with all our clothes, gadgets, and other luxuries? In the words we read earlier, are we offering our food to the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into our house, and satisfying the needs of the afflicted? Then we skip to the fifth principle, the right of conscience and the use of democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. Unitarian Universalists believe in the democratic process. That means we are called to participate in this great experiment of participatory government. It turns out that if the people don't participate, we don't get good government. And that goes for our church, our towns, and our country. I think Abraham Lincoln would agree with me that if the people don't participate, then government of the people, by the people, for the people, certainly will perish from the earth. And then there's our sixth principle. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. There's that word justice again. It is the only concept repeated twice in our principles. I guess we think that's pretty important. But this time, just in case it wasn't clear before, we are talking about the whole world. All. Everyone. Every country, every town, every community, every person. Peace, liberty, and justice for all. That's a pretty tall order. How can I, one single person living in a small town, not rich, not powerful, not in any esteemed position, what can I do to live up to these mighty principles? The answer is different for each of us, of course. But it usually starts with one small step. I accepted a friend's invitation to go to a meeting of women. I printed out some postcards, and when other folks jumped in, it suddenly got much bigger. Then it was a community effort. And when I decided I was ready for another step, I talked to a man I admired and who was making much bigger strides in striving for justice because he was running for state senate after retiring from being a school principal. Norm Bossert encouraged me to take a much bigger step than I thought I was ready for. I'm still waiting to see how that turns out, but I'm enjoying the ride. But the reason I'm doing this political work is because I feel that right now it's the best way for me to work for justice, equality, and compassion. Think for a moment about your life. What is the best way for you to work to fulfill those goals? What's the first step you took or could take? Or what's your next step? Finally, for me, The most important part of acting for justice is building community. Communities like this fellowship help us challenge each other, help us figure out what justice is in our current affairs and situations. We might not always agree. We don't always agree. Sometimes we really wholeheartedly disagree. But that's also the nature of democracy. We work together, we argue together, and we honor and respect each other as we strive together. I don't have a cape. This is as close as it comes. And Norm, to my knowledge, doesn't have a spandex suit on under his street clothes. He said, I'm not saying. My dad didn't have a mask or an alter ego to protect his identity when he took the risk of speaking out. And there is no such thing as a superhero Justice League. I'm going to pause right here because what I was going to say was there is no such thing as the Justice League. But right before the service, Kitty came up to me and she said, do you know how many UUs are in the Justice League? And I said, what? You know that's all made up, right? Anyway, it turns out it's not made up, that there actually is a group called the Justice League. And Kitty can tell you more about that at coffee time, but it's a wonderful thing, and it was all started around like the Moral Monday stuff with the Reverend Barber. So clearly, are there others that know about this Justice League? So my next sermon, I will incorporate all those ideas into this. Who knew? So there's no such thing as a superhero Justice League. But do you know another name that all those superheroes were called when they got together? Do you? The Super Friends. The Super Friends. So let's be that. Let's be true, strong friends in a community that fights together for peace, liberty, and justice for all. But I still want a pair of those magic bracelets.